Welcome back to New Realities. I'm here with Klaus Svahn.
That's good.
And he has a very important place in the history of the UFO phenomena. He's collected files from all over the world. It's in his archives outside of Stockholm. He's written this book, The Files of the Unexplained. And you have how many files, Klaus?
Millions and millions. From
the history of UFOs?
From all over the world, really.
Right.
I mean, we have people coming from Japan to take a look at the Japanese files we have.
Wow, I want to take a look at those files. But so let's establish that the UFO phenomena is worldwide.
Absolutely.
And there's no country that has more or less, would you say? Or there's more documents from some countries, but the sightings are what? World, pretty uniform?
There are some countries that do not report anything.
What
like India.
India doesn't report anything.
Saudi Arabia, very, very little, you know. There are some countries around there in the Middle East.
I thought, what's his name, had the sightings in India? The guy from Switzerland.
Billy Mayer.
Yeah, didn't he have sightings in India?
Yeah. He shows a photograph, but that doesn't mean it's real.
But you know, Billy Mayer, well.
He's suspicious.
Yeah, and not only suspicious, I have a huge collection of his photographs at AFU. And you know, when you look at them, you think, okay, wow, no. No.
You know, because you've seen them all. You've seen the real.
I've seen them
and,
all.
And you don't believe Billy Meyer's stuff is real.
No, I don't think so.
It's all fabric, even the early photographs. Because I heard, he took some in the beginning and then he faked it.
It's always hard to tell about the earlier ones. You know, there could be something in the beginning. But for sure, he faked a lot.
So you're a real expert. Someone shows you a photograph, you should be able to see, is that real or is that a hubcap from a car?
We have hubcap pictures as well. I even have a hubcap from a Swedish case that was created.
But it's not just UFOs in your collection. It is anomalies, occult, paranormal, everything.
Yeah.
So what do you make of it all as an expert in this field? What's going on? What's the big picture?
That's an important question.
It's really, the only question.
Because UFOs are not only ETs.
Yeah.
You know, this is connected to very many other mysteries and even paranormal events. You must really look quite broad into this subject to be able to find a solution. It's not only hardware, it's something else as well.
And it's consciousness. It's affecting people's thinking, their perception, their awareness.
Absolutely.
Would you say it's a positive effect on humanity?
I think very few people are affected by it. All people are, of course, reacting to it through the films, to the books, to what is written about them. But most people on the street don't really care.
They don't care. But it's so important.
It is. It
obviously
is.
For us.
It's the greatest mystery on earth to me.
It is. It's the big. Grant Cameron says this is the Super Bowl of all stories. But what if you take all that you've collected, millions of files? What do you think is going on? What is the? What's happening to the planet and us? What's your expert opinion?
I mean, it's different levels here, really. You touched one with the human mind and the consciousness, which is hugely important. And And what's happening inside here is not fully understood at
That's
this point.
True.
So much is happening in here.
In our human awareness.
Absolutely. And also, physical things are happening. And in between,
the physical
there
and non-physical.
Are both of them. I mean, the contactees, for example.
Yeah.
It's hard to understand what they are really experiencing.
Well, they don't understand it either, right?
But they do experience something.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't laugh. You
of
should
course.
Study them. And that is the problem with science today, I think. I'm really born in scientific thinking. That's my background.
You know what Bud Hopkins used to say about science? Science is supposed to investigate the unexplained instead of explaining the uninvestigated.
That's a good say.
he was great, wasn't he? One of the pioneers.
That was really a good say.
But so this is so deep. What does it say about us as human beings, I think is where you're getting? What do you feel the phenomena, the anomalies, is saying about our level of sophistication?
I'm very much a this and that person, you know. Yeah. I can see things in black and white, and sometimes in the gray area in between.
How about color?
Yeah. And we are very prone to believing things.
Yeah.
Look at the religions. So many people are believing in stuff that it's not possible to measure in any way.
Right.
And we are also very prone to believe in aliens and visitations. That said, we have those physical evidence that things are going on that we don't understand.
Yeah.
This is affecting us in many different levels.
What's the best physical evidence that you've seen?
I have a hair from Bigfoot. I have some scrap of material from UFOs in Sweden. But nothing of that is, of course, really good.
Wait, the hair from Bigfoot, did you identify the DNA of it? Is it analyzed?
I just got it. I haven't done that yet.
But who said it was Bigfoot's hair?
Well, it was sent to me from a researcher in the US.
Mm-hmm.
He claims that it was from a Bigfoot.
How did he get a hair off the Bigfoot?
Who knows? I mean, this area is covered with things that we don't understand. And also investigators that are not really trained to do this.
Right.
And that is a problem.
So are you going to take the hair from the Bigfoot and analyze it for human DNA?
Yeah.
Okay, let us know what happened.
I will.
But this is so valuable. I know it's serious work and it's very valuable, but, you know, this should be public knowledge.
Mm.
How do you feel like we can get this to the public? Which do you think you're...
I can see what we have done in Sweden.
Tell me, yeah.
We have really brought this from a level of a laughing matter in the 1970s to a level of really up in the political level, and also media are treating us very fair now.
Mm-hmm.
Never anything that people laughs about anymore. Mm-hmm. They know that UFO Sweden and AFU are serious players in this.
Right.
So, and we have worked for this for tens of years.
I know,
doing that.
Time.
And I think it takes a lot of time to do that. In the US, you haven't seen exactly the same way. The UFO groups in the US have not chosen that path as we have.
Well, they haven't been recognized. I mean, and MUFON is a little sketchy anyway.
You know?
So there's no real UFO groups. But talking to Chris Mellon yesterday, he's the one that brought this story to the Times in December 2017.
What he did was hugely important. It's, I mean, he turned everything around.
Yes. He's a real hero for
he
doing
is,
that.
He is.
So that's a big plus for our movement. And it's always nice to meet other UFO people from around the world.
The thing is that it was not the UFO guy who brought this.
Yes.
It was from the government side of this.
Yes.
And that's a shame, really, because in Sweden we have done this from the UFO side. We have brought this from UFO Sweden to common knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is the problem in many countries, that ufologists have tended to look at this as only ETs.
Yeah.
We are saying that you must look much broader like that. This is a huge phenomenon.
It's a huge phenomenon. It's a mystery. I don't know why everyone's not so interested in this.
No.
We are.
Yeah.
And you know, that's the common language among researchers. It's like there's an excitement we have in this conference here in Barcelona. It's like, why isn't everybody here? Why? It's strange, right?
I mean, you know, sitting in a car going out to interview a witness, that's what makes me tick.
What is it sitting with?
In the car going out to interview a witness.
Oh.
And meeting those people who have seen things that don't understand. UFO Sweden knocked doors. We talked to 1,600 Swedes over a couple of years. 10% of those had seen something that they didn't report to anyone.
Right.
We have 20,000 Swedish reports in our files.
Mm-hmm.
1 million Swedes, that's 10%.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Are having their stories, but not telling them.
Wow. So is it more popular in Sweden? Is it a big sighting area country for sightings?
No, there isn't any particular place to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite scattered around Sweden. The reports came from everywhere.
Yeah.
We have at least one report every day coming into UFO Sweden.
That's great.
So it's quite a few people. Most of them are, of course, specs or lights in the night and things like
that.
Excuse me, in Norway, there's quite a few, or there's one place.
Hestalen. Yeah. I can tell about Hestalen. So.
No, we just interviewed the guy.
Yeah, I know. I met him. Erling is a good friend of mine.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
But Norway...
No, speak to him.
Yeah, but I just explained that.
Tell me.
Yeah. There is, of course, a place in Norway.
Yes.
Hestalen.
Yes.
And UFO Sweden and UFO Norway had this huge project in the 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
But there are very few observations during recent years. Mm-hmm. Most of them were in the early 1980s.
Right, so you think if 10% of the Swedish population may have seen something, you think that might be true of the whole world, that 10%?
I think so.
And so that's huge.
It's huge.
And it has to be recognized. It's a real phenomenon. There's no doubt about this.
No.
And it's shocking that we're so brainwashed to think that we're just listening to what
The stigma is so big in many countries still, you know.
And what is the bottom line of the stigma? Why is it so hard to believe?
When you present UFOs as a phenomenon, as a mystery, no problem.
When you say it's aliens from another planet.
Or when you say you know what it is.
Right.
And that's a problem to me as well.
Right.
When I meet people who have the answer.
That's why this book is a collection of 11 different writings.
Oh, yeah.
And that nobody has the answer, and it's up to the reader to put it together. So no one has the answer, but we can guess because humans want to make sense.
Absolutely. And that's what we do all the time. When we see a speck of light in the night, we try to make sense of it. Mm-hmm. And when the sense tells you ETs may be real, you may be interpreting that as some ET spaceship.
Right.
But that shouldn't be your first option. The first option should be, could I explain this in a mundane way? The second option, is this something mysterious?
But we can explain this in a mundane. There is no mundane explanation for it, right?
No.
So I think the ET possibility is the most likely. Mm. Or interdimensional.
Yeah.
Or what you said, there's something more to human beings.
Yeah. So there are three different
they're related, though. Because
I think so. It should be related.
Because I don't, you think, this is my outside theory, that we are the ETs here. Consciousness didn't evolve on planet Earth. It came from someplace else. It's non-local.
Yeah, it could be like that.
I mean, I know. But let's also talk about what's unique to Sweden is the ghost rockets.
It absolutely is.
And that's not found any. It's not, and they're not classical saucers. What are the ghost rockets? Because you've studied them probably more than anyone.
Yeah, I started in the 1970s to study them. We found the Swedish military files in the 80s. Uh-huh. The ghost rockets were cigar-shaped objects.
Cigar-shaped objects.
With or without wings.
Uh-huh.
99% of the daylight observations during 1946.
They started in 46.
Started in 46. Were cigar-shaped objects. Uh-huh. And on one occasion, the Swedish fighter pilot tried to chase one of those ghost rockets.
Uh-huh.
He had started from an airfield outside Stockholm, and he chose another path because of a thunderstorm, so he went further north. Mm-hmm. And then he encountered this 15-meter-long cigar-shaped thing.
Mm-hmm.
No tail fin, no cockpit, no wings. Right. Still it flew, he told me.
Yeah.
And he started to chase it, but the ghost rocket flew straight into the thundercloud, which he had to avoid.
Right.
He had to avoid that.
And they also, though, like you said in your lecture, go into the water.
Which is very strange. It was 100 reported crashes in 1946.
Crashes or disappearances into water?
They're the same, really. They call them crashes.
But they're not accidental, they're intentional.
To me, they must have been intentional.
Mm-hmm.
Because not a single ghost rocket crashed on land.
Right.
Everyone into lakes.
So they went into, you know, I was listening to your lecture, I was sitting next to Linda Moulton Howe, and she says, obviously there's these undersea, underwater bases for UFOs.
Hmm.
Does that make sense to you?
Not a single one crashed out in the sea.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone into lakes.
Into lakes, uh-huh. Yeah.
So I'm not sure that is the solution. They found indentations at the bottom of the lakes. They found stones thrown up on the shore, water lilies cut off. And hundreds of witnesses in broad daylight.
So they go through the water and they go into disappearance.
Then
into
what
the earth.
Happens?
Into
I
the
don't
earth.
Know.
They go. In, they may be interdimensionally into the earth.
I mean, just 2 years before, in 1944, the V bomb. You know, the V bombs during the Second World War crashed in the south of Sweden.
Yeah.
It was thousands and thousands of kilos of debris.
Ah, and now we're not finding anything.
Nothing.
And they're still happening, the ghost rockets.
Yeah. They're still happening.
And you, what's the closest you've gotten to finding one or seeing one?
Yeah, we may be close to do that. In 2012, we went up to the very north of Sweden trying to find a ghost rocket that landed and sank on Lake Namajaure.
Yeah.
Two witnesses, broad daylight, flew over them, turned around, 180 degrees.
Yes.
Landed, sank. And we went there in 2012 and 14, mm-hmm. and we got the radar returns that shows that something is resting in the mud. So we will be back again with another instrument, show it in three-dimensional.
That's great. So why Sweden, do you think, just for ghost rockets? And why can't we call them UFOs anyway?
They are UFOs. They are unidentified.
But why can't we call them saucers? Why do they make a distinction for this type of phenomenon?
I mean, if you look at the UFO complex, there are so many diverse
types.
Triangles. Crafts, or whatever you call them. Mm-hmm. So diverse. Mm-hmm. So this is just one part of it, really.
And all the ghost rockets are these cigar-shaped ships.
Yeah. There were some other observations in Sweden, 1946. Very, very few that were not depicted as ghost rockets. There were some cases in Norway, some crashes in lakes in Norway as well. Some in Finland. Some observations in
In South America, Lake Titicaca also has those sightings.
Yeah, going down in the lake, yeah.
And it's so mostly lakes, not oceans, huh?
Yeah, maybe the ocean is very big and there's very few people out there.
Maybe.
So it may happen there as well.
Well, off the coast of San Diego where the Nimitz were.
Of course.
And also Catalina Island, there's all these reports of UFOs maybe coming out of water, just coming through. Have you seen The Terror in the Sky by Carolyn Corey?
Yeah.
That little portal in space-time. So putting that together with everything else, can we access your files online?
You can access at AFU downloads. You can get a lot of things for free.
That we have a lot of pictures, photos?
Mostly magazines and some documents. The pictures are being scanned right now. We have 30,000 pictures, something like that. I just saved a huge file archive from the UK with crop circles.
Wow.
We are scanning all the time, but it's a huge undertaking to make it public. And we need some money from people. We're doing this for free.
So donate some money to Klaus.
Please do that. Not to me, but to AFU.
AFU.
Yeah, .se. There we are.
AFU stands for?
Archives for the Unexplained.
Archives for the Unexplained.
Yeah, that's us.
And what do you think of crop circles? Of that phenomenon.
You know, I follow the crop circles. I went to Britain for 4 or 5 years.
I went there too. It's fantastic. And what do you think?
In the late 80s, early 90s, I met with Doug Bauer, Dave Chorley. I saw how they did this. They explained to me. Mm-hmm. I've done crop circles myself. For me, it's man-made.
It's all man-made.
Yeah.
Even the huge one.
Especially them.
Really?
That points really in the direction of something or someone was a skilled artist.
But still, it's...
And I knew some other people who are making crop circles in Britain.
So you think they're all man-made?
Yeah, I'm sorry to say that.
Klaus. No, I let's follow up, because maybe I'll go to Sweden. I'm writing about a case in Norway, but I'd like to share with the Scandinavian UFO groups.
Okay.
When I finish my book, I'll...
You're very welcome, Alan.
Anytime. Thank you. No, I'd like to go to... I'd like to lecture, maybe give a little UFO lecture in Stockholm.
Yeah, see what we can do about that.
All right, maybe next summer. Because there's a couple other places in Sweden I'd like to visit.
Okie doke.
There's a city that has all these festivals towards the west side. You know that town?
Gothenburg, Göteborg?
Yeah, called in that area, Gothenburg.
Yeah, okay.
But anyway, to wrap this up for you, this is very important stuff. I wonder if Richard Dolan knows about your work?
I'm not sure.
I'm going to tell him about it, you know. This is Klaus Sven, and he's putting together probably the most important archives on the planet of anomalous, unexplained situations, including UFOs and anomalous activity, yetis, and everything like that. So I really appreciate your work. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me, Alan. Thank you.
Thank you. Really appreciate it. Thank you.